because I spoke to Mr. Yoder, who's the legal counsel for Simpson, last month, 2 months ago, in which he assured me that getting Medicare funds and Medicaid funds was not going to be a happening. And you may take it from there. I'm not very happy about that, but I'm just giving you a piece of information that we're not happy.
I don't think we should use Medicare and Medicaid funds for veterans. Our country is supposed to take care of our veterans. From when I was a child, I fought with the Italian government because my father was a veteran of the Italian War in Italy. He came to America when the war ended. In fact, the American government lined up all the Italian soldiers and said, "You people want to come to America? You come. We'll take you for free." And that's what they did. A whole bunch of them, and they got dropped off in New York City. Now, what I've got to say, that government took care of all those veterans. The Italian government took care of them because I was taught how to read and write even after World War II. When they came, the Italian government took care of their Italian veterans. And they're still doing it today, or they'd hear from me. They even gave me a monument in honor of the Italian soldier in Schenectady County. And we are the only county in the United States that has a monument in honor of the Italian soldier. So why can't our government take care of their veterans? I can't understand this. And this is why you people shouldn't sit there and smile and say, "We'll try to do something, we'll fight this government." They're supposed to take care of these men.
You can see we have a woman. But we don't want to.
Well, I don't think you get any disagreement from us, and certainly the secretary has been very strong in his support.
Yes, we know, we also know how Mr. Simpson stands and what comes out of his office, and we know it's a tough fight, but that's our fight. Mm-hmm. But, Gary?
Yeah, I have a couple things I'd like to get. Have you seen a copy of this? The commission report that the gentleman before you was just discussing?
As a matter of fact, no, I haven't.
Why don't we give them?
Yeah,
we have an extra copy.
Yeah, we have it. We'll give you a copy.
Thank you. I appreciate
that.
That
may be helpful.
You've got one left.
First,
it's only one I got left.
No matter how things wash out, I would like again, and I mentioned earlier, to emphasize the importance of the vet centers.
I'm kidding.
I'm personally a user of the vet center on PTSD. As I said earlier, a lot of the veterans will not go to the hospital, but will go to the vet centers because they feel comfortable. They're among fellow veterans who have similar problems. So I would emphasize, no matter how things wash out, that the vet centers remain an active part of the VA system.
Can I just respond to that for 1 second? Because yeah, we absolutely agree. We have vet center representation on our committee. And we are, in fact, co-siting a number of our access points in White Plains, for example, in New Jersey, in Trenton, several places in Brooklyn, in areas at the vet center, in the same building, basically, as the vet center, with very close cooperation. In fact, Henrietta is developing a very nice program with the vet centers there. I work very closely with Gaspar Valzone on Long Island when I was out there. So I agree with you 100%. I think.
And just to add that Dr. Garrett will be a speaker here next. Is a member of our Network 2 Mental Health Advisory Committee. So, yes, we agree absolutely and have hopefully taken that into account, sir.
The next point is, I think that you could do more in the education of the in-house providers. One of the problems that I personally experienced, and I've talked to lots of veterans who have experienced it, is a lot of PTSD people have other medical problems. And you go into a clinic, and one of two things might happen to you. One, if you get a resident, third, fourth year resident, the first thing they ask you is, if your record reflects that you have PTSD, is what is PTSD? Before they talk to you about why you're there. second thing that happens is even experienced physicians, when you go into a clinic, and I'm not saying this is the case, you know, across the board, but it happens occasionally, will ask you, will say, gee, before they talk to you about why you're there today or what your problem is, they'll say, oh, I noticed you have PTSD. Now, to me, that stereotypes the patient. And I think we can do a better job in educating in-house to address that issue.
May I suggest, I cannot speak for the whole of Vision 2, but for Albany, that is a very, very special concern for us. I suspect it is true in other medical centers. We are in the process of trying to design a particular sensitivity program to make it available to providers, physicians, residents, and others on the particular needs of veterans with PTSD and other psychiatric disorders. We're especially sensitive to that. I can't promise necessarily 100% success, but we are certainly aware of it.
And the one final thing that I have, and I would rely on my colleague from the Vietnam Veterans of America maybe to address that or bring you up to date on that. I know that there's some ongoing research on PTSD as it relates to Agent Orange exposure. Are you involved in that? I know that VVA is because I just got a flyer in the mail asking me to fill out a questionnaire.
Yeah, we haven't finalized any of that, but yeah, we're trying to look at that.
Okay, that's all.
That's all. Thank you. Great. Any questions on here, Bob?
No.
Betty? Pete?
I'd like to say I'm glad to hear that you will make it accessible for veterans. We got to talk to the gentleman before you, and my problem with that is I don't see why veterans have to be shunned by the VA and other people picking up the slack. I think it's totally useless. Well, not useless. I think it's a shame that the VA and the veterans can't get together, and other outside adjutants have to take it. The brunt of the VA work. I'm just glad to hear that you'll change.
Well, yeah, I think the issue is the secretary has really taken the lead on this because I think we're prohibited by law from opening these without a congressional approval. So one of the problems in opening the access points is we have a whole list. We have about 60 places on the list, of which we have about a quarter of them, for this is a nation, ready to open as soon as we get the approval from Congress. So we agree with you 100%. And that's really been the problem, I think, that we've been locked into the hospitals and we haven't been out where people really are now and where care really needs to be provided.
Doctors, on behalf of the council, let me thank you. Your testimony, it means a great deal. That's the reason we have you here, so we know what to follow now, what our job legislative-wise would be. And on behalf of the whole council, thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
I just want to thank you very much for the opportunity, but also to say we're going to come back to you and we're going to ask for your input and we're going to ask some of your members to be on our stakeholder councils. We need your help.
We will have a hearing in the near future on what we find with all this testimony and what our recommendations would be.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Would you like to say a few words?
Basically, I'll probably see somebody who I think is better with you. I just wanted to make sure that I said hello to you and let you know that I'm on board with your program.
Turn around.
We follow through on the society. I know there was a great deal of difficulty in identifying some of our veterans. As we recall, I think it was about 2 years ago, I introduced legislation mandating that the social services require that they ask the person coming in for assistance if they're a veteran or not. Because prior to that time, they never asked them. So we were providing services for veterans without being reimbursed by the federal government. Dorsey White had to reimburse that. He was spearheading it for me, but telling me that the agencies were very, very reluctant to say it would create a tremendous amount of work. And I said, I don't understand what the hell they thought about. What additional work is it to ask the person, are you a veteran? And if you're a veteran, it means that you'd be eligible for some assistance from another way and save the state some money. But that doesn't make sense. It's going to cause extra work for y'all. But now it is. But I don't know if there's been a follow-up. I really would like to find out how many of the agencies and providing social services have been following through with that initiative.
That's one of the things we want to find, George.
Because the bottom line is, you know, we're all facing the greatest problems with fiscal. And the greatest source of revenue is the federal government. Because we're certainly not getting our proportionate share of tax dollars that we're because everybody has that anti-New York attitude. New York, you know, they want to give away the shop. But in the meantime, they're giving our tax dollars to every other community that doesn't contribute to it. So we're going to have to really stay on top of the. I don't like to deal with partisan conflict. They have supposedly a contract for America. Be a contract monitor, especially the veterans. Wherever they can come, they put their big wealthy, the veterans. Yeah. Everybody, when they start considering veterans, they think about the guy that they saw fat and skinny on World War I, that they're no longer with us. They forget that there were World War II, the Koreans, the Vietnam, all kinds of military activities been going on since that time. There are many, many veterans out there who are entitled. They provide a service to this country, and yet we seem reluctant to give back to them what they gave of their time and service. Many of them gave their life, and their offspring are not receiving the benefits that they should be receiving. Everybody, well, they're dead and gone. Let's worry about ourselves. And we've got to change the mental attitude of the general public.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, there are more non-veterans than there are veterans. And when somebody is a veteran, is getting a benefit that they're not getting, despite the fact that they didn't do anything to qualify for that benefit, they're resentful. They are resentful, and it has to be done. And we don't see any more the movies that are projecting the soldiers and sailors and the Marines as the heroes of the day. Now the media is categorizing everybody in a negative attitude. Politicians are all of us, the Army and Navy, all they go around the country giving the United States a black eye, they're ready. They're always focusing on the negative aspect of our society. They never want to project what's positive and what's good about it. And this is a real difficult job that we have in front of us to change that whole way of thinking. And I can assure you that my office and my staff is ready, willing, and able to work together with you to try to change.
I could vouch for Mr. Honorado. We know each other many, many years, and he's A1 veterans man. I will call a recess for lunch for approximately an hour.
Where's
1:00.
Yeah, 1:00. 1:00.
Yeah, if you want.
John,
have a sandwich. I need a sandwich. I don't need no breakfast. You can
sort of. On this thing.
Hey. Oh, didn't see you. Huh? You want to be
my hero?
Great.
They still free.
Oh, that'd be us.
The media is in here.
Sire?
Your pictures? What? If anybody needs them more than I do, they're welcome. But the media is not here.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Then you can have everything.
That's the big difference.
Oh. Wow.
Are you hungry enough?
Yeah.
You got your. Oh, you got friends.
Good to see you.
If I'm coming back here.
Jimmy, I did Garrett's.
You may be here back in
the first time.
Well, I'm gonna have to track down. I had to jump up for a minute. Black veterans. This is amazing. the internet, we got to jump right on. They're having real problems with them spending down in New York City the veterans' comp. They're counting comp as income for Medicaid qualification.
Say that again.
It's illegal, is that Terry? It's not legal to count comp, service-connected comp, as income for Medicaid purposes. Because they're doing it in the city and they're forcing black veterans for social justice to spend down the guy's account before they'll give him the medical Medicaid for the medical treatment. It is only right, that's what I thought.
We have time on
to be adding the Julian is just owning it. My guess is he does that, but it's wrong, it's illegal. But that's good. They can poor guys and now they're really have nothing. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, dear. How are you?
Betty.
Listen, I mailed this in. I got a word back.
James, I will get you copies. Make sure I get a copy of everything and get you copies within a week.
Okay, it's already sent to the chairman. Take home and just ask me to stop by. Nothing that you haven't heard before.
This is on behalf of the Legion.
Yeah. Well, you know, pretty usual technicality.
Did you get an agenda?
I didn't get one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they were on the front table. I just assumed you got one. We've gone out of order here a little bit, and that's why I asked you about your time. They pulled Jim Hanlon, as it turned out, had to a commitment he had to go to, so they pulled him early. Yeah. You know Lou, John Rowan, you guys met. And so then after lunch, it'll be go with Dr. Garrett. Well, it's actually two folks, both the New York and the Buffalo folks are here. So we want to hear what they have to say also about PTSD, because one of my key questions for them is, what are you doing to promote interplay between what happens in the regional office and the adjudication people and the people, not just at the, and the people in the Veterans Health Administration in terms of being able to document and make sure also the people who are filing for claims get treated. Similarly, the majority of veterans who have PTSD don't go to the VA, and therefore they're someplace with one of your contractors. The question is, that kind of thing. Right, and frankly, that's a heads up, Lou, is that coordination that I was trying to get at. Yeah, I'll meet you downstairs on the first floor. That coordination of between the state and the feds. Well, let me just say it ain't even visible to the naked eye at the moment, Lou. Huh? Yeah, no, I'm not saying there aren't bright spots around the state, but there isn't anything system-wide. And that's why I asked the question that if there was a New York State Healthcare Authority, which frankly many of us are convinced, laymen as well as
yes.